We are back. It's Extension Today here on WBRT and on BRTV. Robbie Smith is in with us today, and so let's get in talking hay.
Talking hay, yeah. There's a lot of hay hit the ground in the last few days, and you know, we are on the verge of getting a little dry as you start tilling ground and working ground. So, but we'd like to see it hold off just a little bit, a few more days, because there's a lot of hay being put in, and it's a pretty good time to be putting it in. We're about in the middle of the season on prime hay, so it is important to get that in right. And if we get these rain events that push us back further and further, we get too much maturity on the hay. This time of year, the most important thing you can do is to understand the heating process in that round bale of hay before you store it. Every year we lose a few barns to this, and we have a temperature probe at the office that help you decide what the best time. Most times that hay is good and dry in the windrow. You're not going to have any problem. But if you've got a little caseiness, then you can have some issues with it overheating.
A little wetness?
Casey. We call it casey. That's an old term we use in tobacco. Whenever you bring it into case, it gets higher humidity, brings in the leaf, makes it more pliable, adds moisture to it. So if it's casey and it puts it in that really tight roll, then we can get heating, spontaneous combustion.
And they burst in flames.
And they sure do. And it can sit there for 3 or 4 days and then, go into a big problem. The hay may catch fire due to spontaneous combustion and respiration. If respiration, microbial heating raise temperatures greater than 170 degrees. So that's the temperature we want to be at about 150 when we store. Mm-hmm. And we want to check for a couple of days in a row to make sure that, because what happens, you get a bell curve, it goes up, and then you hit a peak, and then you start going back down again. So we want to make sure we're at the peak. We've found the peak. The peak may be 150. When we store it, we usually like to be somewhere around ambient temperature, 80, 90 degrees, whatever the temperature is. That's when we want to really, really store it. So those are important rules. And if you have a question on it, feel free to come by the office, borrow our temperature probe. It's a long probe.
I was getting ready to ask you, this thing's got to be
It's about long. 3 foot long, okay. And it's meant to be able to get in that center of that bale and tell us what that temperature is. And I did a number of those, and I'm glad to come out with that machine, that tool, too. If you just give me a holler, I'm glad to come out, probe several, let us, and do it 2 days in a row if we need to, just to make sure we're not, because hay's, we're talking $40, $45 a roll. If you lose a barn full, you lost.
And if you lose a barn,
you lose a barn full of hay, and now you get anything to feed next year. And it's one of those years where it doesn't feel like last year to me. It feels like we could be dry this year. I don't know. That's just my feel for it. But
so you say check that temperature several days in a row to try to make sure that it's not continuing to go.
Yeah, it should. I think it's the third day that it. It should peak by at least the third day and then start going down again. It's usually that time frame before you get back out to the field to start. And a lot of folks have gotten really used to getting off the tractor, grabbing that spear, the hay spear, and if you can hold on to it, it's probably okay. But it can be really steamy, really hot when it comes out of there, and that's a good indicator. If you get used to that, how to gauge that, then you're going to be all right. But it's an important thing to keep in mind. If you've got any questions, like I said, you just give me a holler at the extension office. It's 348-9204, I'd be glad to come out and test some of that for you. Okay. The other thing that we're starting now is interested in anybody who's wanting to have their hay tested. We're in that.
For quality.
For quality, that's right, for quality. And it's, after we get that hay wrapped or rolled and put in the barn, then it's time to start looking at what the quality is, so what you're going to do next fall, because I think we got caught this year not having our high quality hay at the end of the year where we needed it. We can feed our worst hay at the beginning, have a high quality hay at the end, because we're at that point having lactating cows that are with the calf on side, or fixing to have calves, and it's important to have all the nutrition you can in them at that point, and trying to save that best hay you got back. Yeah. And it may be a slight difference, but any little bit helps. Yeah. And it's like a $6.50 test to learn what a lot of, typically we're going to test one lot, whatever you rolled in that.
So I was going to ask you, do you test more than one out of a
area? Say if I come out to the farm, then I'm going to take figure out which that lot is, and you know, acreage, hayfield, whatever it is, and we're going to probe. The way we probe is from the edge of the bale, not through to the center. We're going to take from the string side all the way in and drill it, because that way we're crossing multiple windrows within that field, and we're able to, when we do that, we're getting a better glimpse of what the whole field looks like, and we'll do three or four bales out of each, maybe more, depends on what we need, and send that off, get a test. And it's a like I say, it can tell us a lot about your protein and your dry matter and all the things that we need to know as we go into feed. And we don't have to do it now, but it's a good time, because as we start filling the barns up, then we don't know. I mean, we can't, it's not as easily gotten to the back sets of rolls. So that's an important thing to do.
And then you got to remember, they come back and tag the
rolls. No, they don't necessarily tag them, but the farmers always know about where they shut off, or the color will be a little different. You can tell when you're into those. Okay. So that's an important thing. Storage, as we've talked about, makes a big difference on hay, getting it inside. Doesn't have to be inside if it's wrapped, if it's tarped, if it's anything to keep the rain and weather off of it all summer long. We do a lot better. I think, for example, I saw in here, and you know, I'm referring to Round Bale Hay Storage in Kentucky. It's AGR 171, put out through UK through our publication.
Now, you've talked before, I think, about what they call them, hoop barns. Yeah, see some of those out there.
They have really improved our quality of hay, storage wise. Done a great job. I'm looking for a certain chart, and I'm not seeing it, but that's. It referred to loss as 5% per year you lose 5% nutrients per year if it's in storage. You know, I got a roof over it. If it's outside, you lose about 35% per year. I think I'm right on that. I'm not grabbing that chart real quick out of there, but that's an important thing to keep in mind.
Of course, a lot of people aren't getting more than a year out of storing it now. As you said, this year we used
it all, so it's important time to, you know, after you make that first cutting, if you're in a hay deficit and you feel like you right ahead of that next rain, if you'll put some urea on, you'll get another good cutting. And that's an important thing to keep in mind as well.
So we
can help you with that as well, but there's all kinds of little tidbits of information that make it helpful whenever you're trying to decide what your quality is, what other bits of information that may be helpful as well. To that point, if you think you're going to be short again this year, we're in a good window now to still be putting in summer annual grasses like milo and sorghum Sudan grass. There's other ones I'm not thinking of, but those will serve you well with a lot of biomass, give you lots of later summer cutting, good quality stuff, and is important if you think you can be short, you know, and need to replenish your hay load. You can drill that into existing, drill that into a field that had weed in it or what have you, but it just helps increase the biomass going into the summer months. Loves that heat, so it does well in that period. Right ahead of a little rain, and you'll get good germination real quick, and it helps increase the number of on that second cutting, possibly even a third cutting. I know folks last year with all the rain we had three cuttings of sorghum Sudan, in which, you know, they put it in haylage, makes a terrific feed for the summer months or for the winter months. Good quality stuff there.
All right, that's our hay story for today.
That's a lot about hay. We'll probably skip back into it as I think about something, but there's a number of there's a number of points that drop into my mind as we talk about this. But when I talk about these things, I'm referring to publications that we have, and I know on TV you can see these, but on the radio I'll describe them. This Grain and Forage Crop Guide for Kentucky, AGR 18, and you can get to that through our website or through a search engine. You're going to Grain and Forage UKY.edu and get that. You can also get that from our front desk down at the office. If you just want to walk in, grab a copy, we got them all out there. Every one of these are out on the front front.
It's the easy route to do.
Easy route to do, and love to have a conversation with you if you need to have one. You know, those kinds of things.
Yeah, we need to remind everybody that the office is on South 3rd Street.
Yep.
And just a couple of blocks down, in the 300 or 400 blocks?
317.
You're in the 300 blocks. Block, so yep. Just three blocks down. And
Blocks down.
Yep.
And folks are asking about right now in their hay, buttercup being in hay. Mm-hmm. And that's typically where we see it. Once that, it has a little bit of an issue with animals feeding on it. If they were to feed on it, it can be problematic to mouth sores and digestive situations. They don't typically eat it, and that's a good thing. But that issue is no longer with it once it's in hay. Once it dries, that alkaloid goes away, so it's not a problem. So just put it up. That's one that we can control easily if we hit it with a herbicide in March, before it blooms, before our pollinators are out, after it protects pollinators. If we get it early, you know, doing it now doesn't do a whole lot of good because it's producing loads of seed already. So you might as well cut it and put it in a bale and be done with that.
And not have your cattle forage on. Yeah.
And it's an annual, so it's done for the season after it flowers. So when we treat that in March, it is unreal how good a control we can get on it. And just one treatment of the cheapest option we have is just straight 2,4-D, and it does well on this. So it's something that we need to concentrate on. It is there taking up resources that the grass could be using. So if it's not there, then the grass gets all that benefit. Yeah. And that's the thing that we don't often think about when we're seeing that. We see it, we hate it. But the reason we should hate it is it's using up more resources than we're getting out of it by far.
You don't want to stress the good stuff.
That's right. That's right. Yeah, that's right.
So, again, at the office, all these publications, mm-hmm. somebody says, hey, I don't know how to find.
Yeah, that one right there, Weed Management in Grass Pastures, AGR 172. It's online. It's a terrific publication. Even talks about comparing spraying to mowing. And which ones might be best, which weeds are, will succumb to a mowing pass, and be done with them and not have to spray them. So that cost is a lot less. And, it just covers a lot of things. I refer to these publications because they change the name of these things all the time. And I learned a long time ago, you can't try to remember all of it because it
changes.
It changes on me. And then I'm telling somebody wrong, and I don't want to do that. So it's an important bit of information there.
All right, we're moving some equipment up and down the roads. I actually saw some yesterday. It was interesting. I saw it up in Nelson County, and I think I saw the same thing, but it was parked at an ag place in Washington County.
So. Okay, yeah. Yeah. They're moving around.
And he did have a truck with it with lights, by the way.
I saw one moving last night when I was mowing in Manton that they were moving a big planter, so we're still in the throes of planting both beans and corn, probably getting closer to the corn finish than on beans because we'll have some late beans after the wheat comes off. But we're at a point in the year, in a few weeks, we're going to see all sets of equipment on the road. We're going to have combines. We're going to have trucks for harvesting. We're going to have drills and tractors and spreaders and everything else out at the same time. Usually it's one set of equipment and then another comes in later, but with wheat coming off and still beans going in, you have lots more equipment.
What's going on?
So you got to keep in mind that, and don't be in a hurry. I see people just acting silly all the time that think that they need to pass 5 or 6, and you're not going to get there that much quicker. Just be patient, because those guys will find a spot. If they can get it over to the edge and get you around, they will do that. They know they're holding up traffic, and they don't really want to, but it's necessary to move it from one field to the other because we can't grow all the corn in the same field. That's just a proven point. We can't get it all in one field. If we could do that, then and nobody would have a job, would they? No farmer would. They grow it all in the same spot. But that's just keep an eye out for them guys and gals that are in those pieces of equipment. Now we got the roadsides being mowed, so it's another piece of equipment out there. Just, they're a lot of those guys are farmers as well that do the roadside contracts, and then they understand all that pass as well. So just keep your eyes out, and be safe with that matter.
Okay. We're going to take a short break, and we'll be back with more of Extension Today here on WBRT Radio.
Sure.
Bourbon City Firearms is having a huge sale. Every item is on sale. Firearms, ammo, and all the accessories. Famous brands, Glock, Sig, Ruger, all on sale. Come in and check out the sale, including half-price specials. When you're at Bourbon City Firearms, sign up to win a fabulous prize. $50,000 prize dollar bonus if you mention radio. Bourbon City Firearms, where everything is on sale. 120 South Salem Drive in Bardstown.
And it is time to return to Extension Today. And let's see here, Robbie. We're bringing in Terry Spence.
Yeah, we've got today. Terry with us now, and we're going to switch gears a little bit and I think talk about some fruit and veggies because it's National Fruit and Veggie Day, right?
That's right.
All right.
That's what I heard, yes.
We make things up every once. No, that one was on, I'll tell you the calendar events. Terry, tell us again your title, with, because this is just the second time you've been
there. Yes, it is.
You took kind of a break in there from the first time. To get
She's been training up heavy. Yeah, they've had her everywhere.
I am the Nutritional Education Program Assistant now for the Nelson County Extension Office. All right. So everything I do out in the community has to come from UK, and we talk a lot about fruits and vegetables.
Okay.
So those are nice, healthy choices, and we're finding, I think a lot of people don't eat their daily recommendation of fruits and vegetables. So myself, I've kind of had to make a conscious effort to eat more, try and get them in there, sneak them in there if I have to. But it is typically from the dietary guidelines from the USDA, half your plate should be fruits and vegetables. And so the more colorful you can make your plate, the more benefits you're going to get from that. There's a lot of healthy benefits from eating more fruits and vegetables. They can cut down on your chronic diseases. They can help you with your diabetes type 2 if you have those. The heart attack, stroke, all of that can lessen with eating more fruits and vegetables. It just puts more health in there.
You said colorful, and at times one of our other shows that we do is with Allison Roby from Medica Pharmacy, and she talks a lot about diet and exercise and along with other things, but sometimes she talks about when you're if it's a really dark green, it's better than not so dark green. I think maybe like lettuce, you know, the iceberg lettuce is
like spinach leaves versus iceberg lettuce. The spinach has a lot more nutrients and a lot more minerals in it, and it's the same way kind of with your vegetables, with other vegetables. Like if you have orange peppers or red tomatoes, things that have more color are more dense in nutrients.
Okay.
So that's the way I keep it in my mind. If it's colorful, I probably want to add it in there. So
how are potatoes? So they're usually white on the inside. I mean, I know we don't really
well, you can get purple and yellow ones, but
and the gold ones.
And they have good flavors.
Yeah.
But
they're starchy, but they're still a really good vegetable.
Yeah.
Our root crops provide a lot of potassium.
Yes.
Potassium for us that we don't get in a lot of other places, so it's important to have that balance.
Root crops, something we have to dig. Is that what you mean?
Yeah, so carrots the product that we're going to eat comes from out of the ground. So carrots, rutabagas.
Growing under the ground.
Yeah, turnips, all those things that are in contact tend to take up more of the potash, and which is potassium, that we get to use in our bodies. So.
Right. I take a supplement with potassium.
Right.
That's good.
Because I don't eat enough things that come from underneath the ground that I'm aware of.
That helps lower your blood pressure.
Yeah.
Potassium does. So, but I would just recommend trying to eat as many colorful vegetables as you can. They're also low in calories, fat, and sodium. Mm-hmm. So you're kind of helping out your daily dietary by eating those, because you're not eating as many calories, you're not getting as much fat, and you're lowering your sodium intake also.
Now, What about preparing these colorful vegetables? What can we do to, I guess you would say, keep them
the best way? The best way is, of course, eating them raw is always good, because a lot of times you eat them with the peel on, and the peel has a lot of minerals in that also. So if you eat a baked potato and you just eat the inside, you're kind of missing out on a lot of the nutrients because the peel has a lot in there also.
And if you throw a bunch of butter and sour cream and other stuff on it, like some people do. But yeah, I do like the, when I have a baked potato, to eat the skin.
It's easier to operate too.
You just cut the whole thing.
She would frown on my wilted lettuce salad I had the other night too.
Oh, because of bacon?
Well, the way I look at that is it's better than eating a bag of potato chips. Mm-hmm. So, you know, but the way you prepare it is monumental. Anything deep fried, of course, it's sucking a lot of that nutrition out of it. You're putting extra oils. If you're adding a lot of sugar in there with it, so all of those can kind of change the healthiness of it.
Does steaming take a lot or much of the nutrition out of them?
No. Mm-hmm. Boiling does.
Boiling.
If you boil something, it can remove a lot of the nutrients in it, mm-hmm. unless you're using the water with it. Now, kind of all the nutrients are going in the water. So if you're keeping, like in a stew or something like that, or a soup, you're keeping all that broth, then you're keeping all that in. But if you're draining it, you're draining most of those minerals down the drain.
Well, I guess I'm having a tough time figuring out why steaming is different than boiling, because both of them are using water that's over 212 degrees, but is just steaming such a quicker process, or?
It's quicker, and it kind of holds it all in there. Okay. You're not really steaming everything out of it.
Yeah, the water's not running around it and, you know, leaching it out. It's just, I guess, the heat of the steam is what's cooking it.
You're just kind of leaving it in there.
And I tend to like it better. You get a little more crispiness
to
the vegetable.
Yeah, a lot of people also grill their vegetables, which, you know, if they don't load them up with spices and salty seasonings,
you can take fruits and vegetables. Some people grill pineapple and stuff too. So you can kebab those or just put them on the grill in larger pieces. And I know people have grilled cabbage. They call them cabbage steaks. And they just leave it on a big, big, thick chunk of it. Okay. Mm-hmm. You can put a little olive oil on there. Olive oil is a very good oil for your body. So you can just put some salt and pepper or salt substitute or even seasonings or herbs. Herbs are very good a way to flavor things that removes your sodium from it. So
The grilling is like I say, is the thing that I like to do. It's one because I think I'm...
It's easy.
Easy, yeah. There you go. You jump
it's
right
easy.
To it.
Yeah.
You know, but cabbage and things like that,
I
onions and potatoes or sweet potatoes on the grill are a good thing.
Or take your potatoes and your onions and then wrap them up in aluminum and stick them on there and let them cook.
Like I say, sometimes I kind of over-season stuff, maybe, or season to taste.
That's right.
You mentioned salt. We've talked about seasoning with salt, pepper, and yada. Different kinds of salt now. I mean, there's sea salt. There's regular old Morton's salt, I'll call it that.
Iodized.
Yeah, and then there's, again, I'll refer back to Allison, is something like glacier salt or something? Have you heard that?
Am
I a little bit off?
You're seeing a lot of different salts come in, especially some gourmet salts. Mm-hmm. Like I have a Himalayan pink salt.
That's what it was. It was pink.
Yeah
Himalayan pink it's salt. Himalayan pink rock salt. Salt, I think in the end, salt is salt. We get a lot of sodium from all the other foods that we eat. Yeah. So we really do not need to add any extra because everything we're eating is already infused with some kind of salt somewhere along the way.
Yeah. You know,
especially if it's processed.
Yeah. I go back to, you know, when we were playing basketball and football in high school on hot days, they would give us salt pills at the end. I'm afraid we would
You're sweating it out.
Sweating it out, yeah. So,
That's what a lot of the sports drinks have in them now, is the sodium
and the electrolytes.
Electrolytes.
So you got to be careful with sports drinks, even though I just bought some yesterday.
Well, if you're exercising and doing all that and sweating your body might need it.
I'm going to drink something that seems to be better that way. Okay, so what else is going on?
We just have different – I brought some different recipes, so if anyone wants to stop by the extension office, we have lots of healthy recipes that are simple, easy to cook, very easy ingredients. The farmer's market is now open, so you can go in and get fresh vegetables, fresh fruits, a lot of other things coming from there. So you have options for fresh vegetables and fruits. You can buy them frozen. You can get them canned. You can get them dried. So there's a lot of different options to get your fruits and veggies in there. You don't necessarily have to eat them in the raw form. You can slip them in there like I'm starting to do with my family because they eat very little fruits and vegetables, especially vegetables. So like I've been slipping in red peppers, cooking those. But there's we have a lot of ways to kind of sneak those into the recipes if your kids won't eat them.
My mom, this story never heard, but my mom convinced us when I was a little kid that squash that was fried up and was scrambled eggs. And I wasn't a huge scrambled egg fan, but I was much more likable to scrambled eggs than I was to fried squash. And now, both of them.
Now you like both.
Top of my list, yeah.
We passed a zucchini pie off as an apple pie, and my kids received it very well.
Yeah. And people are substituting mushroom and other things for the meat.
Yeah. Yes.
Some type of Parmesan.
Eggplant Parmesan.
Eggplant Parmesan. Yeah. Or mushroom Parmesan.
Oh, yeah. There's.
Yeah. So.
I think it's just all about being aware of what you eat and trying to make healthy choices when you can. You're not going to be able to do that 100% of the time. And if you're trying to make changes, make small changes. Mm-hmm. Don't try to do it all in 1 week and say, I'm not going to eat this because it's not realistic. And so if you can make those small changes, they will add up. Mm-hmm. You're getting less calories by eating fruits and vegetables and more healthy choices. You're reducing your calorie intake. So in the long run, you're going to see healthy benefits from that.
All right. Always a good idea. And as Robbie has all of his publications available for people to pick up at the office on South Coast Street, you have
lots of recipes, lots of health tips. Mm-hmm. I myself will be out in the community doing classes on nutrition. For those that are interested, they can contact the extension office.
Okay. What type of organizations would you go to for this?
We do the assisted living, the elderly independent living. Mm-hmm. We're doing a lot of the schools, a lot of the preschools, getting them some base knowledge on fun activities, on what's healthy and healthy, how to make healthy choices. Okay. We were just at the high school yesterday cooking, teaching them how to chop vegetables. So a lot of just skills that come along with healthy cooking and healthy eating.
Do we still use Ron Popeil's Vegematic?
I haven't seen that.
I haven't seen that one either. I've seen it before on TV. We don't have one, though.
We don't have a Vegematic?
Nor do we have a Pocket Fisherman.
And a Pocket Fisherman. We had a Ron Popeil thing the other day, and when I looked him up, he created, there was Vegematics, Turnip-O-Matic. He branched off. Saw he had a good thing going. He just, tomato-matic, They got slice every anything.
Yeah, I don't remember that.
All right, so I had to get my Vegematic story in there along with my mama's squash. So.
But they can give me a call or stop by, and I'll be happy to set them up with some recipes and fruits and vegetables and anything else they have.
All right, so when you call, ask for Terry. Yes. Appreciate it very much.
Thank you.
All right, we'll take another break, and when we come back, guess what? We've got more of Extension Today, brought to you by Jay Allen, Kentucky Farm Bureau Insurance. We are back on Extension today, and Robbie's jumped back in front of the microphone, and Terry is Spritz is just about out. But I tell you, Terry, if you would have gone to the Sloppy Garden Joe, I'm a Sloppy Joe fan.
Oh, yeah.
And does this have, I'm looking, has no meat in it? Is that right?
I can't remember on that one. I've had that one before. We actually had it at one of our trainings, and it's really good.
94% lean ground turkey chicken.
As
opposed to my beef.
Yeah, you really need to try that one because it's very, very good.
That's cool. Well, you know, we do chicken and turkey chili.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Which is the first time I've heard that. I thought, woo! And then it's very popular.
Oh, yeah, it is.
I've substituted turkey for a lot of things.
Oh, yeah.
And nobody knows any different.
Knows it, yeah.
Our beef guys do. They know the difference.
They know the difference.
Nobody in my family would know.
Robbie, back behind the mic.
Hey.
I see Blooming Bardstown.
Yeah,
we've got a representative coming in for that tomorrow.
Oh, okay.
To talk about that some more, but go ahead.
I won't share all their thunder then. I'm just going to highlight it. That's coming up June 8th. We put signs out today to kind of bring people attention to it. Tickets are on sale. They can pick those up at our office, the pre-sale tickets, or up at the visitor center. So there's just, it's a good event, a day-long event there. We've got the gardens all set now. We've got the vendors coming in. We've got the silent auction working. We're ready to go. Feels like it's going to be a nice, we've got all new gardens. Maybe one repeat from years past, but I think they're all new gardens this year, so that's kind of an exciting thing. It's, you know, we started doing this 15 or 16 years ago and thought we'd get 2 or 3 years, 4 years out of it and find all the gardens that we could and be done, and they just keep showing up. So either we have encouraged like we hoped, or we underestimated the number of gardens that were out there. So I'm going to take it that we've encouraged.
Master Gardeners?
Master Gardeners, Extension Master Gardeners host this. We've got an army of about 35, 40 that really work hard on this thing, and will be there all day for the plant sale and in the gardens. There'll be docents in the garden helping people decide what plants are plants and answering questions, those kind of things. So they're really out there.
And proceeds help with the scholarship.
The scholarship fund, yep. We buy books for the library, $200 or $300 worth of gardening topic to books for the libraries every year. We do a couple of scholarships to high school seniors, $1,000 a piece. We do a scholarship for 4-H camp to send some kids on scholarship to camp, and a number of other little things. Right now, their biggest project is the beautification down at the extension office. If you haven't been through there, we've got the cannas and the front flower beds all planted and mulched and looking really good. We've now planted, 1,500, 2,000 canna bulbs out down there. And it's just going to be a show come about midsummer with the purple cannas. So we're pretty excited about that. So, you know, the Master Gardener program, I will announce that we are going to do a Master Gardener program, set of classes this fall. It's probably starting in the 1st of September. Just, you know, get on our mailing list, call down at the office. It's 348-9204. Get signed up. We'll start sending out correspondence on that, but we're going to start advertising it pretty heavy to get. We'd like to have a 10 or 15 member class, and that usually happens. We do usually every couple of years, and we're ready this year for another one to get underway. So I'm excited. I always like to have fresh people to work with and new ideas and exciting things that come out of those.
How long is that? Is it a monthly meeting?
We usually do weekly for about two to three months. Three months.
Yeah,
weekly. And sometimes we'll double up on a class, give 3 hours on one evening, but it's usually going to be an hour and a half, 2 hours on each session, and kind of let the group decide how they want to progress the thing. We can move it pretty fast. We can spread it out over some time, and we usually do fall because we're starting to wind down from the summer activities. We get folks and we get them trained up for the spring and ready to go. So that's always been the best time of year for us. We can do these during the day. We can do them of an evening. Obviously, it works it works differently for everybody, and we've had them at all hours of the day. We've had them at 9 o'clock in the morning and 5 o'clock in the afternoon and 7 o'clock in the evening, you know, that kind of thing.
Just so what you're saying, majority rules on
majority it. Rules kind of thing, and we want that input from you. We want to get as many folks involved as we can. The important thing is that you come into it with a commitment of giving back. This is a volunteer leadership organization, and we rely on Master Gardeners to do lots of things in the community. So giving back those service hours, being a servant leader in the horticulture field, you know, it can be a lot of different things. That your imagination is the only thing that limits you what will allow you to give your hours back to. So it's not pressure like that. You got to do this or you got to do that. We just want you active in promoting good information on horticulture and growing throughout our community, and that's the important thing, that you come in here with that mindset of giving back the hours.
Speaking of giving back, you guys mentioned the product or program to plant a row in their vegetable garden, I guess mostly vegetables, but we do grow some fruit here. Tomatoes are fruit, right? Is that?
Tomatoes are fruit, yeah. Okay.
So vegetables and fruit to donate back to people that need it.
Yes, the food pantry. Chris Godby just sent me an email. I couldn't pull up the details of it here on my phone, but it's similar to something we've done in the past where we're encouraging folks just to grow extra, bring that extra produce that they're not going to use or it's going to waste before they can get it used over to the food pantry, the Bread of Life Food Pantry. I was about to call it its old name, Bread of Life Food Pantry, and go visit with them, bring the produce there. It's an easy process. Pull it up to the back door, walk it in. They will take care of the rest of it.
Now, that is at the corner of what, First? It's in the Kobeck Building?
The Kobeck Building, the basement of the Kobeck.
City of Bardstown.
The old
education.
The old Kentucky Home School.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I always want to call it Foster Heights, but Old Kentucky
Home
School.
Right beside Foster Heights.
So that's a good, easy program. We want, you know, try to make sure it's nice quality. It's not already rotting, those kinds of things. You know, this is a, people are going to be eating this, and, you know, if it's nice looking, they're going to eat it quicker. The way it works down there, if it's not changed, and I'm speaking for Chris a little bit, but the way they originally, all produce, fresh produce, they have a point system. Folks can come through and get things. Some things count points against what they can get. Mm-hmm. But produce, all the fresh stuff does not count against, they can have all that they want. Because we're encouraging that, just like Terry was saying, we're encouraging that fresh produce. Because there are some really good programs over in Eastern Kentucky that's called pharmacy, where the doctors write prescriptions to the farmer's market for fresh produce. And they've seen results with lower blood sugar levels, lower blood pressure levels, those kinds of things out of these pharmacy.
With an F.
With an F, yep, with an F. And it's a really cool program.
That's cool.
I'd love to find a sponsor for that around, but it, you know, it's sponsored by someone, and that's the thing. But it's a really cool program that I think would serve some folks well.
Mm-hmm. Does it pay? I mean, obviously, farmers markets.
The farmers market, the farmer gets some
money
in return from whomever sponsors
it.
The program. It's just very much like the WIC program.
Yeah.
Though that money goes, you know, comes right back to the farmer from the community, kind of thing. So, but it's that's something that has taken root and has shown really good results, actually. Yeah. And that's what we like to see is some results on healthier folks.
Right. So one of the least healthy parts of Kentucky besides around here is East Kentucky.
Well, it's amazing, too, how many younger children have never tried certain fruits and vegetables. They've never seen them. Mm-hmm. We cut into a cantaloupe yesterday, and one little girl said she'd never seen inside a cantaloupe.
Inside of a cantaloupe.
Yeah. See, I take a lot of things for granted, and I guess I can get my eyes open. But yeah, so that's a lot of that going on. Something else I wanted to bring up, well ahead of schedule, well ahead of time. This is the Ag Day. My colleagues, Danielle and Luke, work more closely with Ag Day than I have. The last few years, the date has been on top of something else I'd already been committed to. But they're having something new this year. Now, I'm telling you about Ag Day now because they're going to do a tractor parade. And this can be old tractor, new tractor, whatever the case may be. But they're going to have a parade from the fairgrounds, up around the courthouse, back out to the fairgrounds. So we want to give you plenty of time to prep your tractors. If you want to use an old one, make sure it's running well. There are rules that that apply. All tractors are welcome, new, antique, etc. All drivers must be a licensed driver. Can't have our kids driving it. No riders. No other vehicles like ATVs or side-by-sides, those kinds of things. If you have questions, Bobby Ice and Steve Franklin can help you out with that. They're the organizers of it. But this is going to be in association with Ag Day out there. It's going to be that's with the Ag Day 5K that they that Luke helps promote, and the breakfast that Danielle and the 4-H kids work with
out farm to table.
Farm to table. So it's a really cool event. This year I get to participate in it. I don't have anything on that day, so I'm excited to get to go out there and help with it too. But the date is July 6th, and the parade is going to happen at 11 a.m. Okay. Now, if you need more information, you call Bobby or Steve Franklin. They have their flyers around town. Call the office, and we'll give you their numbers if you want to. I know writing them down, me hollering them out there to you, it's not going to be. So it sounds fun. You know, it sounds exciting. Just bring attention to the ag community. It'll be a nice stroll. I think they said maybe about 45-minute ride from there all the way around the courthouse and back out. And it'll culminate in just kind of a little tractor show at the end and probably in the beginning as well. But I look forward to it. I think that's going to be a cool event. Like I said, it can be a new tractor. It can be an antique tractor, a tractor that's in the middle of restoration but runs well. You know, we don't want to have to put you on a rollback in the middle of it. So, but that's an exciting new event, and each year that group is sensational. They've added something new each year. Last year was the breakfast. This year, again, the tractor parade. A few years back, Luke added the 5K to kind of promote the healthiness of it. So it continues to grow a little bit, and each year with a new program and excitement from folks. I understand last year that it was very well attended, and we expected that to be even better this year with the things that we've got planned for this year.
Yeah, you know, when it first started, it was on a Saturday during county the fair. And then they realized that they were having to share and some other things, and it's got its own legs now.
Yeah, it's got its own legs, and it's doing well, and it's really promoting that, promoting our farmers and where our food comes from, and getting those guys a little recognition, good recognition on a good day, and we're excited about about the whole program. Farm Bureau does a great job sponsoring that. Larry Shank is the coordinator, along with a whole group of folks that work with him. Any questions you have on that, feel free to call us at the office. They're having actually farm to table breakfast and the ham auction. They're going to do the ham auction after the breakfast this year
from the 4-H ham.
4-H hams, yes,
yeah, country ham. Club.
Yep, absolutely. So, a lot of things going on. It should be a really good day. They have things for the kids to do, like the corn booth and the little. They have a little tractor.
Races? No.
No, it's a train. It's a train with a little barrel.
Oh yeah, that you ride.
Yeah, they ride in. So. The combines the kids can sit in, so it's kind of like going to the farm machinery show just here in Nelson County. So
July 6th, a Saturday.
July 6th, the run will start at 7 a.m. and things kind of progress through the day. 9 a.m. to breakfast, and the parade's 11, so on.
It's all the way to 2, doesn't it? 2 or 3 in the afternoon?
It's something like it, yeah. It probably ends somewhere in that range, 2 to 3 in the afternoon.
All right, well, you leave some of that behind for me?
Yes, I will. I'm glad to leave these
behind. You may have that somewhere, but we'll go ahead and hang on to it.
And I'll leave that one with you as well.
Okay. We got one of those.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Yeah, but we'll hang on to it. All right, well, let's see. We've got a couple of minutes left. So, again, any wrap-up or final things you can think of that we need to re-emphasize?
Temperature on those hay bales are quite important. We don't really want them to get above 130 degrees because we start losing quality in our hay. Do not, you know, if they're up above 170, it's a you don't want to put those in the barn because that's going to be a problem. And like I say, you got to monitor those over 2 or 3 days to see where that.
Okay, if it gets to that temperature, what do you do?
You just leave them out.
Leave them out.
Just leave them out. Let air cool around them. Yeah.
Don't stack them.
Just once we stack them in there tight, boy, they don't get any airflow.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. I didn't know you'd hose them.
You know, well, we have to if they catch on fire.
Yeah,
but just leave them outside. If you're questioning it. Leave them out for a week or so, and then you know put them away if you don't want to. Like I said, I'm glad to come out and put the probe in them and see where we are on those.
Are the ones that are wrapped in the plastic more susceptible than the ones that are just strung?
If they're wrapped in the plastic, that's by intention. We put those up, it's called haylage, and we put them up because it's high moisture hay, about 50% moisture in that, and we want them to go through a fermentation. Okay. So they're going to heat some. Mm-hmm. It's controlled heat with the bacterias that I can't tell you the names of, but they do a good job of breaking it down, and it makes a really quality hay.
Well, that's our extension today for today. Of course, we're on twice each month here on WBRT and BRTV, the Nelson County Extension Office. On occasion, not as much as it used to. We get representatives from Washington and Marion County, but they got a lot going on in their communities, too. Yeah. And they drop in on occasion. Robbie and Terry, thank you for coming by today, and we will see you guys very, very soon.
Thank you for having us.